welcome to the sixth season of For the Quantum Grammar Shoot podcast. I'm your host, Jason-Matthew Glass, and in this season, I'm going to be concentrating much more on the grammar and sharing my knowledge thereof. To those listeners who are serious about the grammar and are serious about learning it and about learning the benefits that it can present to you as a tool in your navigations through your day-to-day life. Thank you very much for joining me. What does everybody out there think of cancel culture? I know that it's become a thing where this group of people or this celebrity or this influencer will speak out against perhaps another influencer or a group of people and try to cancel them, meaning try to erase them from the minds of the public. Now, we can think of a couple public instances of this. The one that comes to my mind is Eric Clapton, if you're a fan of music and you've been around for a while, you'll know who I'm talking about. He's a very famous blues guitarist. He was in bands like the Yardbirds, Derek and the Dominoes, and he's known as one of the greatest blues guitarists of all time. Very famous. He's had a lot of hits throughout the 70s, the 80s. I don't know if he had any hits in the 90s. But anyways, he came out and was speaking about his experiences with the vaccine, the jab that's going around. And he had negative experiences with it. Immediately, the mainstream media and other celebrities tried to cancel him. Tried to blackball him. Slandered him. Another instance would be, I know her as a mixed martial arts star, Gina Carano, the more current crowd of young folk might know her as Cara Dune from the Mandalorian series, but she's been in other movies and things like that as well. She's an actress now. Well, she came out and posted something having to do with criticizing the lockdowns, the masks, and all that stuff. She would post things, her opinions about that. And because of that, her employer, Disney, fired her from the show The Mandalorian. Hollywood blackballed her, much in the same way that music industry blackballed Eric Clapton. And that's cancel culture. So my question to you is, what do you think of that? This is going on a lot, all the time. Jeez, you could even go to Donald Trump, which was outrageous. Regardless of your political stance, regardless of your opinion of the man, he was selected as president of the United States, and they tried to cancel him, and they went out of their way to do that. And by they, I mean mainstream media and whatever, however else you want to say it. There were contingents that tried to cancel him. They went so far as to, ban his Facebook account, block his tweets on social media. They took away the voice that he had. But he's a smart guy, so he took different avenues and actually continued stronger than he was before, I think, from what I've seen, on his own. And the funny thing about it, and I'll just put this out there, it doesn't have to do with cancel culture, really, but I was just thinking about this. If you go on YouTube and you pull up any video, like a Joe Biden speech, where he's talking, or Kamala Harris is talking, giving a speech about something, if you look at the thumbs up and thumbs down, the thumbs down is like 5 to 10 times more than the thumbs up for those videos. And I noticed this during the, before the selection process, before the voting happened, I noticed that as well. And I kept thinking to myself, how is it that Joe Biden, quote unquote, won that contest, when at least on YouTube, one of the most public platforms out there, he always got like double, triple, quadruple the thumbs down than thumbs up? Do only Trump supporters use YouTube? I don't think so. So that's just an interesting thing there. How to show how powerful the mainstream media is when it wants to direct something one way. It will go that way because they have the money and the influence to do it. Now that I've established basically what cancel culture is, to put it in a nutshell, it's a well-accessible source like mainstream media or a public influencer, someone who has a voice that is well known and heard over many platforms, like a celebrity, voicing an opinion about something. And because they're an influencer, because people look up to them, because people respect them for whatever reason, people listen to them, people follow them, subscribe to them, get notifications, etc., etc. Because of that, their opinions are taken in by their followers, which is basically called protagonist-centered morality. And the influence spreads. So if this celebrity comes out and says, I got the jab, you should too. And if people respect and love that celebrity, well, then they'll say, well, they got the jab, I'm going to get the jab. And then it spreads. Or if they say, this person's a bad person, we need to eliminate them, we need to get rid of them from society, we need to blackball them because they're a bad person. No matter what it is, whether it's true or not true. And then their followers will just automatically take their word for it and agree, and then all of a sudden, this person disappears from the mainstream. It happened to Mel Gibson. I could go on with that, but I'll just stop, because I already gave closure on what that means. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to flip it around to the Quantum Grammar community, Quantum Grammar crowd. How this fiction tactic, and it is a fiction tactic, has permeated the Quantum Grammar community. In that, you will have an influencer that will come onto YouTube or wherever, their own website, some social media platform, let's put it that way, and speak out and say that such and such is a bad person or a bad actor, or such and such is a narcissist or a psychopath or has this type of personality. And then they'll say, you know, either they'll go so far as to put a bounty out on them, put an arrest warrant out on them, or this, you know, they'll just say to their followers, number one, they'll slander the person. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. And their followers will pick up on it, just like those celebrities. And it's protagonist-centered morality, which also means no matter what the influencer does or says, the followers will be loyal. Even if there's inconsistencies, if there's cognitive dissonance, the followers don't care, because they're already entrenched in that psychology. They're already convinced. So whatever comes out of that leader's mouth is what they're going to follow, true or not true. So if they want to disqualify someone or cancel someone, well, then their crowd will follow right behind them. This is how it's pervaded the Quantum Grammar community. And you can see that in recent videos. And this really only started after Colin David Ife and Wynn Cole Miller passed away. Everything went to hell in a handbasket. Everything changed, was modified. I'd be surprised. I see hundreds of new people, who are interested in quantum grammar. And I actually saw a comment saying, I didn't know that you could get a claim in the live life. Or how did they say it? They said, I thought you had to get a claim of the live life from Russell J. Gould in order for it to be valid. And again, this concept only came out after Colin David passed away. And it was slowly rolled out in the bottlenecking of the technology. First, it was not all live life claims are created equal. I mean, yes, you can have a live life claim, but it's not as good as the one I can give you. And then a year later, it became no live life claims are valid unless I authorize it. And then there was another influencer out there who was saying that they could cancel live life claims, which I guess equates to murder. That would be Colin Mark hyphen Kishon Colin Christopher. He was canceling people's live life claims in a couple videos, which I don't know if they're still up or not. They're probably a year or two old. But this type of mentality and psychology only entered the construct after David passed away. Now, the question would then come up, do I think that I'm an influencer? I think perhaps to some degree I could be considered that on a very, very small, minuscule scale, because my subscriber count is just over 4,000, which is way less than those other fellas that I mentioned. Way less. I like to think of my channel as a nice, peaceful, calm port where those who are serious about learning the grammar technology and nothing else can come and learn and educate themselves if they choose. And that's the type of atmosphere I like to cultivate in my live streams. It doesn't always go that way, but that's my volition. I try my best to do that. I try to stay away from the drama. Now, you could say also, since I'm talking about cancel culture and I'm mentioning other names in this podcast, that I'm sort of feeding into that. But what I'm doing is acknowledging that these things exist. And perhaps some people that are on the fence about it and who only know correct sentence structure in a theoretical sense, meaning that they don't have closure on the grammar, they don't really know what it is, they're just kind of following along adrift at sea, trying to latch onto this vessel or that vessel, trying to show them, trying to be sort of a lighthouse to direct them towards my channel, that if they want to learn the grammar, and only the grammar, which is the single most critical and important part of the whole thing. If you don't know the grammar, what's the point of everything else? You can't really utilize everything else unless you know the grammar. And the ironic thing is, these other influencers who are out there making videos, while they're busy canceling people and slandering people and setting bounties on people and trying to arrest people and trying to put psychological diagnosis on people, while they're doing that, what are they not talking about? They're not talking about the grammar. They're not teaching the grammar. They're not even really mentioning the grammar or grammar mechanics. Why is that? I could speculate, but I've already done that in other podcasts and things like that, so I'll leave that alone. You can go back and listen if you choose. What I choose in my videos is to talk about the grammar and teach the grammar to those who want to learn it. I will say that since these influencers have come out and began slandering people and taking these positions that they've taken, these fiction positions, that it seems to me that it's doing its intended purpose. If the volition was to drive people away from learning the grammar, it's working. It's definitely working. And kudos to them for being able to do that. I mean, that's basically skill and manipulation, I guess, modification. When you modify someone's verb of the thinking into participating with the fiction, like an adverb. On my side of things, or my little position, it's always been the grammar. It still is the grammar. And that's what it's going to be. And it's there for those who want to learn it. The funniest thing to me is the mentality of some people. For example, the voting mentality, where everybody you talk to, okay, I'll just put it into a personal perspective. Everyone I talk to, they know politicians are liars. The politicians lie. They make promises they can't keep. So it comes down to, in their mind, in this fiction psychological scenario, what's the lesser of two evils? Who's the liar that they can put up with, that they'd rather put up with? And that's what fiction is all about also, is limiting your choices. Narrowing your choices down. And then I also did a podcast on the Hegelian dialectic, which on the left you have the Democrats and on the right you have the Republicans. Two hands on the attached to the same body, ruled by the same brain. Same thing with quantum grammar. On the left side, you got one guy, and on the right side, you got the other guy. So you could say one side's a liberal and one side's a conservative. And if you pay attention or if you've been watching videos, you know who's left and who's right. And I mean those in a political sense. One's hardcore conservative and the other is hardcore liberal. But they're two hands attached to the same brain. Now, what is the brain, though? What is the brain that runs them? I would have to say that and this is speculation, pure speculation on my part, the brain that controls these two sides is basically the concept of leading people away from correct grammar and getting them immersed in the fiction, albeit a fiction that has correct sentence structure flavor added to it. But it's an artificial flavoring. It's an artificial correct sentence structure flavoring. It's not actually correct sentence structure, natural flavoring, pure flavoring. No, it's synthetic. And I say that because I can look at any public grammar performance from either of the influencers that I mentioned, and by the rules set out by Colin David Eiffenwin, Colin Miller, which I have on my YouTube channel, I have two videos that have him talking about basically sequencing of positionals and how that works. By those rules, they violate those rules. So it's not correct. It's not mathematically certified. It doesn't hold the same value forwards as it does backwards. Not to mention their incorrect use of italics, spacing, justification, particles of negation in their facts. I could go on and on. These are things that I can certify. I can certify because they're on paper. It's evidence. It's evidence, and I can show why it's not correct, and I can also show how to fix it. Because if you're going to present a problem, rule one, rule equal, says that you have to present a solution. My solution? Fellas, feel free to study my YouTube channel or contact me at jasonmatthewg17@gmail.com to set up a consultation or apply for a grammar workshop. And we can take care of it. I'm more than willing to help anyone out there. Now, of course, my terms and conditions are these. I will not contract with anyone who has a warlike volition, who has a malicious intention to harm anyone else. Must be peaceful, neutral, honor, grace, rule one, rule equal. If you can comply with those terms and conditions, I'd be more than happy to teach you. With the rule one, rule equal performance. So there you go. That's my podcast. And I hope some of those people out there that are on the fence, I hope you hear this. And if you want to learn the grammar, go ahead and check my YouTube channel out. Give it a shot. See for yourself if I certify what I'm saying or if I don't. I'm not pushing an agenda other than teaching grammar. I'm not trying to sell anything, because anything that I teach in my grammar workshops is available on my YouTube channel. I'll say that again. Anything that I teach in my YouTube, in my confidential grammar workshops is available to the public on my YouTube channel, which you can study as much as you want. The reason people like the workshops is because we can sit across from each other eye to eye, and you can ask me any question you want about the grammar, and I can give you closure right there on the spot. It's much more easy and efficient to give closure in that scenario, on that geometric level playing field of communication, than it is in text messages, comments fields, emails. It's just better to do it face-to-face in a video communication. That's why I offer the 10 to 15 minute consult for brief grammar questions. It's very easy to give you closure. All you have to do is show up, give your correct name, and show your face. Easy. Rule one, rule equal. Level playing field. All right, thank you. See you next time.